So, church, this morning's sermon, we're going to be doing things a little bit different, if you're okay with that. Are you happy if we mix things up a little bit? And it sort of works because this sermon is a bit of a mix-up. Obviously, this I've spoken before at church. I've spoken, I think this is my fifth or sixth time now speaking a breakthrough, and it's such an honor every time I get the opportunity to do this. But it was totally different this time how I got the opportunity to speak. You know, in the past, the leadership team have come to me and they've said, hey, you know, we're doing Next Gen Jan most of the time. It's been around Next Gen Jan. And I've been like, you know what? They're like, hey, can you come and speak at Next Gen Jan? I'm like, yeah, sure. And then I'll pray, God, what do you want to speak to us today? What's your plan for this service? And what's the plan for that message? And this one was totally different in the fact that I came to the leadership team and I wasn't asked to plan a sermon. It was a few Sundays ago. It was the Sunday after Easter and I was driving to church. I was driving here early. I was getting ready because I was on team that Sunday. And I just asked God a question. I said, God, we decided to see a really good move in our meetings and we'd seen God do some really cool things the Sunday before at Easter with Glenn Duncan. Who loved having Glenn and Holly here a few weeks ago? How much fun was that? Come on, church, you're sounding dead out there. How much fun was that having Glenn and Holly there? There we go, that's what we're needing. It's bucketing down here. I need to hear y'all, otherwise I'm going to hear the rain. I'm going to start needing to pee, and then it's just going to be a whole ordeal. So I need to hear you guys over the rain, okay? That's your job today. And I was just like, God, we've had this move, and what is it you want to do? What do you want our response to be to this? What should our response be to what we've seen God do? And in the eight-minute drive it takes me to drive from church to here, this whole sermon just wrote itself in my mind. It was just like God dropped it down. Every note, every verse, every segment, everything just came to me in that drive. I got here, I was on sound, so I was doing practice while I was doing the rehearsal. I just wrote it on my phone, and I sent it to the leadership team with the intention of like, hey, if one of you guys want to speak this or you want to turn into an academy or something like that, that's so good. And they came back to me last week, and they're like, no, Jay, we want you to speak. And it was such an honor when they asked me that. But I'm really excited because this is totally different for me. And when God initially gave the illustration to me, I've never been an illustrations person. I've left that to my mum. Thankfully not in drawing illustrations because otherwise we'd have to put some like sensors on the seat, on the sermons and stuff like that. But mum's always done illustrations and things like that. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do something this morning because the sermon's called Bridging the Gap. That's what we're talking about today. And my initial idea was, oh, I was going to get Dad's iPad out and I was going to draw. And we're going to connect it up to the screen. I thought I could draw this big illustration of what God's doing. Like, this is going to look so good. And then I went home and practiced drawing a bit. And I noticed, we're not going to be able to do that, God. We're going to need another idea. That's not my calling. That's Dad's calling. But if I start drawing, no one's going to have any clue what we're speaking about. And then God said, what do you do really good? And I do a couple of things really good. I talk really well. Not really good. I do two things a lot. I talk a lot and I move a lot. So I thought, instead of drawing, I could be the illustration this morning. Are you guys okay with that? I'm going to be a bit of the illustration this morning. So yeah, I've got a bit of interpretive dance planned at us at segment two. So get ready for that one. Yeah. Get ready, Graham. You're coming up and dancing with us. we're doing an it's going to be fun. So today's message is called Bridging the Gap. And I'd like to start by asking you a question, because I like to ask questions a lot when I speak, you're going to hear that. And the question is, have you ever felt, or maybe do you feel now, it's a bit of a big one, like you're not enough? Big drop, I get it. We've gone from, you know, interpretive dance to are you not enough? But run with me here. Have you ever had that feeling where you're striving to make something of yourself, something worthwhile, something lasting, a legacy maybe, an impact, a purpose, but you just feel like you're falling short? Or in other words, have you ever felt like there's a gap between who you are and who you're supposed to be, between who you were called to be, who you were meant to be, who your family think you are, who your friends think you are? And have you ever felt the pressure to try and bridge that gap? Have you ever felt the pressure of like, I'm here, I'm supposed to be here, but I just don't know how to make up that distance between who I am and who I think I should be? Or have you ever had the really scary thought of, you know, am I so far beyond what I'm supposed to be, so far away that it's not even worth trying anymore? And I ask those questions not to condemn or anything like that. I ask you those questions because they're questions I've asked myself. And they're doubts I have battled a lot in my life, particularly as a teenager. I battled that a lot. So my prayer today is that I can help you find some clarity of what I believe is the underlying causation of this frustration, the underlying cause of the frustration and shortcomings that we feel in society, that we feel internally, the pressures we put on ourselves, the pressures other people put on us, the pressures we perceive others put on us. Understand how we can walk in tomorrow without that fear, how we can walk confidently that we know we're enough. And also how I believe God has called us to live our lives. As I said, this message came out of a lot of help from what Glenn and Holly Duncan spoke, and me saying, God, what is our response? What our response can be to what God has done. So God, we just thank you right now, Lord. I give everything over to you as we've already done, Lord. Come have your way in this midst, Lord, as we are gathering together in your name, with one voice, in one desire just to lift your name high and see your kingdom come, your will be done here, Lord. That is our desire. God, come and move in our lives in a way that only you can. Give me the words to say that can bring just such clarity, can bring hope, can bring peace, can bring assurance, Lord. Everything that you came to bring on this earth, Lord, they make me your vessel this morning, Lord. Give us the ears to hear. Give us hearts open to receiving, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Everyone said amen. Amen. I need a drink of some water. I had an energy drink this morning because I didn't get to sleep till very late last night. And you're going to get the joy of seeing Jay on an energy drink this morning. It is a lot. So you should be grateful. It is a very exciting time for you all. But energy drinks also make Jay's mouth very dry, he has discovered this morning as he's getting ready to speak. So I might be dipping down to the water a bit. I hope you don't mind that. So what do we do if we feel we're not enough? Before we can understand what to do if we don't feel like we're enough, I think the first thing we have to do is understand what it feels like to be enough. Okay, you have to get that, because otherwise you're just circling around chasing this phantom feeling, and it can just add to the frustration. And to understand what it means to be enough, we have to understand first how we were created and what we were created to be. Because if we're created a certain way or created to be a certain way, that's enough. Does that make sense? If we're created for a purpose, then when we can live out that purpose, we're enough. Okay, that's my theory, and that's what I believe is true in the Bible. So can I get you all to go back to the very start of your Bibles, and by that I mean page one of your Bibles. We're going to Genesis 1 today. If you're looking for it, it'll be just after the cover. And if you find one that says like Revelation 28, flip your Bible upside down and open the other cover, and that's where you're going to find Genesis 1. It's a little trick I found a few weeks ago. Helped me immensely in my preparations. So we're going to Genesis 1, verse 26, I believe it is. 26, oh, look at that. He even knows his Bible. Genesis 1 tells the story of God creating the heavens and the earth across 7 days. He created heaven and earth, night and day, sea and land, sun and stars. He made this place called Eden or paradise, okay? Eden, I'm pretty sure, is the Hebrew word for paradise. Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong on that. Eden is paradise in Hebrew or something like that. We're going to go with it. We're going to pretend it is if it isn't, because it sounds really good. So he's made all these things. And then the final thing he makes is mankind. He makes us. Verse 26, I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. He's speaking to himself at this point, okay? He's speaking to himself. He's spoken to the land to make the animals. He'd spoken to the sea to create, the fish. He spoke to the sky to create the birds. And then he spoke to himself when creating mankind. Let us make human beings in our image and be like us. They will reign over fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, men and male and female, he created them. I could speak a lot to that, but I'm not going to today for the sake of not getting us canceled on YouTube today. But we were created in the image of God. And I believe that this is a core component to who we are, is that we were designed in the image of God and created to know him, to be in relationship with him, and to be in communion with him. We were designed to have a friendship with him. We're going to see in a bit, in a verse we're going to read in a little minute, that God was often walking around Eden. He was in relationship with them. He would come down in the evening and he would spend time with Adam and Eve. They were designed to be in fellowship and in communion and relationship with the Father. He loved them. He made them in his image. You don't make something after yourself if you don't love it. He made it and he loved them. Okay, so I want to do a little illustration today, as I said. So we've got this fire pit here. I'm not sure if you can see it.
So good.
Now I'll move it forward a little bit if you can't. There we are. You can sort of see this here, this fire pit. It's this fire pit is going to represent, you know, God. And God is often represented by fire and stuff like that. The fire of heaven is often described in the Bible, so I thought it would work. We've got this fire pit, and this represents God, you know. What do you do when you get around a fire pit? Well, the men who were at the fire pit service, we had a fire pit night with all the men a couple of weeks ago. You cough and you cry a little bit when you're undercover because the smoke doesn't have anywhere to get. But other than that, you get around it. You get close, you get warm, you're close to it, you know. I love a good fire pit. That's the other reason I did it today. So this fire pit represents God and his presence being with him. And Adam and Eve, they would come in and they got to be in the presence of God. They got to experience the presence of God. Eden was just the presence of God, basically. But then Adam and Eve did something really dumb. God gave them the authority. We read about that. They had authority over all the earth. They had authority over everything except this one little tree. This one little tree with this one little apple. And they'll just tell, just don't eat that apple. Because God's like, I'm telling you, don't do that. Just leave it alone. I'm your maker. I'm your author. I've told you this. Leave it alone. And they were like, but it looks so good and I want apple juice. And so they went and they ate the apple and it was very silly of them. And basically, what that represented was not just them eating an apple, obviously. It was them breaking their covenant with God. They had a relationship with God that had been built off of trust and off of obedience and off of faith. And what does God, what do they do? They say, actually, God, you've said not to do this, but we're just going to go our own way. And in doing so, they let sin into the world. And it's, you know, and by introducing sin into the mix, you know, they had all the earth that they could go around. They had the authority over all the earth, but they also had this amazing relationship with the Father. And what did they do? Sin created this breakage and they lost that passageway to a relationship with the Father, okay? So I'm gonna bring my notes down here for a second because what they had was an incredible relationship with God and they broke that, you know? They were stuck away from here. They kept the earth, they had the earth and everything, but they went after that and they lost that connection. And they were cut off. You know, it says in Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9, when the cool evening breeze was blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. That's what it's saying. God was used to coming and trying to be with them and having a relationship with them. And it says they hid from the Lord. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" You know, that friendship, that relationship was broken. It says in Isaiah 59, verse 2, "But your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Okay, so what have we got? We've got God, God's presence, God designed for us to be in fellowship with him. And then the passageway has been broken by our sin, by our mistakes, by our shortcomings. I love how the Passion Translation puts that last verse. "Rather, your sinful deeds has built a barrier between you and your God's. Your sin has made God turn his face from you so that he does not hear your prayer." So we've got this passage where we have this passage and it's been broken. And try as we might, we could not bridge this gap, you know? This was a gap that was built by sin. And you would think, oh, wrongdoings broke it, good deeds would fix it, but they didn't. The Pharisees, these people in the Bible, they tried everything they could and they were broken. There was this gap. They would live the most perfect lives possible. And then Jesus says in Matthew 5, what does he say? "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees." Basically, unless you live the most perfect, even if you live the most perfect life of all, the Pharisees are not making a single mistake. And unless you're better than not making a mistake, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot get back to this place. You know, they would build these lives where they would get to the wall. They would get to this barrier. And they could live as perfect of a life as they could, as close to heaven as they could. But there was still this shortcoming. There was nothing they could do. It didn't matter where they were. People, you could be anywhere in this space. You could be living back here. They could get up to the front. But it didn't matter because ultimately the passage had been broken. There was a gap between God and his people. And you might be thinking, Jay, you know, I don't really care about God, or my frustrations aren't from not knowing God. My frustrations come from, you know, my failed relationships or my health issues that I've been battling for years. I just can never seem to get over them. Or, you know, my boss at work just not seeing my true potential and constantly not giving me the credit I deserve. Or the relationship with my family being broken and never being able to be, you know, have what others have. You say, that's my frustration, not God. And that's incredibly true. But what I propose is that those frustrations actually stem from the same root issue, which is an issue of identity. You know, that frustration with not getting ahead in life is actually rooted in a fear of not being enough and people not thinking we're enough, not being good enough in life. You know, that desperation to be appreciated by your boss is just an underlying desire to feel seen and to feel worthwhile, to feel valued. And we push and we do everything we can and we finally get there. And I'm gonna speak from my own experience here. You know, you can push. I've had times where I felt like I was back here. I was so far away from everything I was supposed to be. And I could be sitting here, you know, and just waiting. But there's also times where I felt like I got to the front and I got here and people were appreciating me and I felt like everything was going right. And that didn't relieve the pressure, it actually added to it because I did not feel worthy and I did not feel strong enough to keep myself here, but I'd gotten here and now I had to keep myself here because I couldn't afford to lose it after I'd finally got it. I finally had my family going well and I finally had my family all talking to each other and everything was going well, but now I had to maintain it. And I'd finally got ahead in life, but suddenly I'm having to work extra hours and I'm feeling burnt out and I can't make it work. But I have to make it work because I've finally got what I think I need to be enough. And I feel this pressure and this burden of God. What happens when I let it go? I believe this feeling comes back to us all consciously or subconsciously yearning for the satisfaction of knowing that we're seen, we're enough, we're worthy, and that we're loved. That we're seen, we're enough, we're worthy, and that we're loved. I believe underneath, in any situation, whether you realize it or not, I believe all of us, we are created to feel those things. And we are created not just to feel those things, but to feel them from God. Yeah. We are created to feel like we are seen from God, by God, we're enough for God, we're worthy, and we're loved by Him. We are known by the Father. We are designed in His image, and we were made to be in that relationship with Him. I believe. And that is a relationship that no amount of hard work, integrity, perfection, excellence, outgoingness, living a good life, nothing can actually make that happen again. You know? So we were created, we put all these prizes, all these desires, all these goals, all these ambitions at the wall. Goals to be seen at work, goals to be appreciated, goals to have a good career, goals to be financially stable, goals to have a healthy life, goals to have a strong relationship, goal to have a good family. We put all these goals here. None of them are wrong, but we make them where we try and get this feeling of worth from that was actually designed to come from this free passage of being known by the Father, being known by one who created us, one who made the heavens and earth and said, know what, I've got all of this, but none of it's worthwhile if I don't have you to be in relationship with. That's what I believe we were designed for. And there's nothing we can do to break that, to bring that back. The gap, bridge has been broken and there's no amount that we can do. But thankfully for us, you know, the story isn't over. Amen. Because, you know, we might have broken the bridge and we can try as we might to fix it. As we've seen, we can't. If your righteousness does not exceed the Pharisees, that means we can't do this. That's what Jesus is saying. But what it took was someone from the other side, lowering himself down. And that person was Jesus. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 12, because he poured out his life unto death and was counted with the wrongdoers, yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the wrongdoers. That word interceded is described as the act of intervening, mediating on behalf of someone. The word I like to use is standing in the gap or bridging the gap. And what Jesus did was say, hey, you can't fix it from down here, but from my end, I'm going to come down and I'm going to recreate this passageway from my end. When Jesus died on the cross, he became the bridge between God and his people, between heaven and the presence of God and the people of God once more. He created this passageway for us. And, you know, a separation of sin that could only be covered by righteousness. And it wasn't our righteousness, it was his that did it. So the amazing story is that it doesn't matter whether you feel like the Pharisees, where you feel like you've got everything in order and you've got your life perfect, or whether you find yourself back here living life, you know, feeling so far away from God, it actually doesn't matter anymore where you find yourself, because God has made the passage and there is a free passage back to the kingdom of God. There's a passage made by Jesus when he died on the cross that you cannot undo. You cannot lose it with your mistakes. You cannot lose it by your sin, because it wasn't created by your righteousness. It was made by his righteousness, which means we can never lose it. And we can know that we are enough for God, not because of what we did. God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. What does that mean? It means we do not have to create the pathway. We do not have to feel like we are enough. God, Jesus says, hey, it doesn't matter what you think of yourself. It doesn't matter how broken you feel. It doesn't matter how hurting you feel. It doesn't matter how weak you feel. It doesn't matter how lonely you feel. It doesn't matter, because Jesus has made a path. So whoever you are, you can come to the Father today. And I just want to say quickly before we keep going, normally we do this at the end of the service, but I just want to give an opportunity for anyone in this room. If you are feeling that hurt, if you feel broken, whether you feel like you're sitting right here at the front, or you feel like you've spent your whole life as far away from God as possible, you're like, there's no way God could see me. You know, it says in the Bible, that Jesus gives a parable where he talks about the 99. It says he was a shepherd with 100 sheep. He had 99 with him. 99 were with him at the fire, but there was one all the way off in the distance. And he went after the one. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter your story. It doesn't matter if you have never stepped foot in the church. It doesn't matter if you haven't stepped foot in the church for years. It doesn't matter if you feel like you had the opportunity. I feel like there's someone here right now, and you feel like you were given this opportunity when you were a child. Maybe you grew up in church, or you grew up in a family of faith, but then you walked away from it. And in your mind, that was you re-breaking this barrier. You were given this opportunity, you were given free passage, and you feel like you broke that. God is saying you cannot break that bridge anymore, because he did it once and for all. He said it is done. It said he has the keys of death and Hades. That means you cannot break that bridge. And I know there is someone, I'm not sure if you're joining us in the room right now or you're joining online, but God is saying there is nothing you have done that can ever break that bridge, and that pathway is still available for you. So I want to encourage you right now. We're going to say a quick prayer, okay? This is a prayer. God, it says in the Bible that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you are saved. What does that mean? If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, this passageway has been made. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to live a life for it. You just have to believe it and let God transform you. That is what we're going to do. So we're going to say a prayer. So I'm going to say a really simple prayer right now. And I ask everyone, if you can do me a favor, I'm just going to ask everyone just to repeat it after me. But it says you have to believe in your heart. So you know if this is you. If you're someone who feels you've never done this before, maybe you did this a while ago and you're coming back for the first time in a long time, or first time in years, or maybe you're just not sure. Maybe you're just sitting in that space where you're like, God, who am I truly? Am I truly known by you? God wants you to know that you are known by him. So say this prayer and make it your own. Believe it in your heart as you say it with your mouth. So we just say, dear Jesus, thank you for bridging the gap. Thank you for becoming the punishment for my sins.
Thank you for becoming the punishment for my sins.
And making a pathway to the heaven again.
And making a pathway to heaven again.
That I may know my Father.
That I may know my Father.
And I know my Creator.
And I know my Creator.
I know you see me.
I know you see me.
I know you believe in me.
I know you believe.
And I know you love me.
And I know you love me.
Thank you for it, Lord.
Thank you for it, Lord.
I give you my life, to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Can we say, I don't know if there's someone in this room, if you said that for the first time, you said that for the first time in a while, if you're joining us online, congratulations. That is the best decision you can ever make in your life. I'm going to tell you right now. And I just want to say, on behalf of Breakthrough Church, it is such an honor if you have said that prayer for the first time or the first time in a while. I'm so grateful for that. And I want you to know there is a lot of, we would love to walk this journey with you. Come see one of us afterwards. Come see someone in a Breakthrough t-shirt, someone you've seen up on stage. Send us a comment below. Send us a message via Facebook or send us an email. You know, go to our website, whatever it might be. We'd love to connect with you. We don't want you doing this journey alone. Yeah. All right. So the bridge has been made. Praise God. Who's excited that the bridge is made? Yeah, we're grateful. And now we get to this part, which is where I believe so many Christians have lived their life. This bridge has been created through heaven and earth. And we say, oh, that's wonderful. That's so good. The bridge is there now. We're good. I can relax back here because I know the bridge has been made. And then we just continue to sit. Hello, Jasmine. How are you? Good morning. And we sit here and we think that's good. That's good to know. That means when I die, hopefully not soon, hopefully in the future, when I die, I'm going to walk up to heaven. This is wonderful. It means when I die, I no longer go to hell and I walk up to heaven. That's great. Jesus, when I die, God, I'll see you then. Wonderful. I'm going to be back down here. I'm going to continue doing my thing. I'm going to chill back here. I'll see you in a little bit. That is how a lot of Christians, I believe, we live our life. We live out, a lot of people have lived their life knowing Jesus loves them, knowing, hey, no, it's awesome. That bridge has been made. And then we just chill here. We just chill living the same life, doing nothing different than when the bridge wasn't made. We just sit on this side of the bridge. But remember, what Jesus made when he said no one can get to the Father except through me, that wasn't just talking about heaven. That wasn't just talking about eternity. That was talking about here on earth. He was talking about bringing heaven to earth. What was the Father's relationship with Adam and Eve in Eden? Was it a God who was off in heaven waiting for them to die? No, it was a God who was walking the grounds with them, being in relationship with them, being in friendship with them. Rome, going to read a big bulk of scripture, so it's going to come up on the screens. Bear with me for a minute. This is Romans 6. Verses 1 through 11. And it says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? That grace may increase? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that as many were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into his death in the order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so then we too may live a new life. I'm actually going to leave it there for a second. We're just going to continue on. God has not just come down and found us so that we have an eternity with him and we have a future with him in heaven. He came down to make it possible for us to live the lives that he designed for us, you know, to get back into that relationship with us. A couple of weeks ago when Glenn and Holly were here, there was a word that came on my heart and it was the word beckoning, the beckoning. That's why in my notes I named this part of the sermon, the beckoning. I believe God is beckoning us into his presence, to a deeper, more intimate relationship with him. What is beckoning? It is defined as making a gesture with a hand, arm or head to encourage or instruct someone to approach. I believe God this morning and over the last month or so at Breakthrough, this is what we've seen as Glenn and Holly, God has been beckoning us into his presence, saying, hey, you don't have to live down there anymore. You don't have to live in that state anymore. You know you're going to heaven, but you're still living in that same hurt. You're still living with the same anxiety. You're still living in the same fear. You're still living with those same doubts. You're still living like everything relies on you to make it work. You know God's made heaven for you, but you're still going to work every day with this pressure of, God, if I mess this up, what am I going to do? God, how am I going to provide for my family? God, how am I going to do these things? We still live with the same feeling because we still live our lives down there. And I believe God has been beckoning us into his presence, saying, hey, come up here. You know, it says in, I believe it's in Matthew or Luke, Jesus said it, so he said in one of the Gospels, it's probably in multiple. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But what does it say? Come to me. Yeah, come to me. Beckons us up, says, hey, come get into relationship with me. Get to know me and let me give you my rest. I love in the Message translation of that verse, it says, learn the unforced rhythms of my grace. Yeah. Watch how I do things. God says, hey, get to know me, live life the way I do, get to see your life through my perspective. And I believe that starts with us coming to him and saying, God, you know, I'm taking that step forward. And I believe that is what we've seen over these last few weeks. God's intention for us was not to just restore our pathway to eternity, but to restore and experience his presence, his goodness, his glory, his power, his healing, his freedom, his joy here on earth. Are you grateful for that, church? He wants us to experience his presence here today. He wants us to experience his love here today. He wants us to experience his miracles here today. He wants us to experience his goodness, his favor, his provision. He wants us to experience those things here today. I believe that is true. And I just want to encourage someone, you do not have to live with those same fears. God is not just about the future. God is here for you right now. I know the plans I have for you, say the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil. They are to give you a future and a hope. That is for today. That is not a future in the distance. That is not a future in heaven. That is a future in heaven, but is also a future here on earth. God is not done with your story yet. God is not done with your journey yet. God is not done using you. God is not done doing great things through you. They are not just things you didn't in the past, and they're not just things you're going to do in heaven. God wants to use you here today. I believe that. Amen. So, our purpose is not to try and strive for these things. We know that. And our purpose is not just to live back here in this space, looking on, waiting for one day, someday. So our purpose then must be to stay here. Right? That must be our purpose. Our purpose is to stay in the presence of God and say, oh, you know what? This fire is nice and warm. This is lovely. I should have got some marshmallows this morning, you know, make a little s'more, you know, get the guitar, start a little campfire out here, you know, because this is nice. I'm by the presence of God. I know God. This is a good place to be. Who agrees? It is good to be in the presence of God. Amen.
Yes.
I am not about to say it is not good to be in the presence of God. Please do not clip this. Please do not throw this on Instagram as a little 3-second video and take it out of context. It is amazing to be in the presence of God. And we're going to see how important that is in a second. But I do not believe this is our purpose, to stay here. All right? And I'm going to show you why. Jesus said, no, God's intention is for all this to happen. The separation is a bit, you know, but I think it's more than that. It's more than just us to be here. So let's recap. Adam and Eve sinned, bridge was broken. Jesus came, interceded on our behalf, bridge was recreated. Separation gone, pathway to heaven recreated, pathway to a relationship is restored. Jesus has died, he's taken the keys of death and Hades, and he has risen from the dead. What is the first thing he says to his disciples? He says, come in and enjoy sitting with me and let's just stay here forever. No. Matthew 28:18 says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What does that mean? Hey, this gap that was created by sin, it exists no more. I have the authority to connect heaven and earth. I have the authority over what is happening here, and I have taken the keys and I've brought you back to me. Now, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The gap was bridged, the relationship with the Father was restored. We got to know the Father, and what's the first thing Jesus tells us to do is go.
Yeah.
And go therefore. That's the first thing he says is go therefore. It is on his heart. Jesus never intended for this just to be a thing that we keep enclosed to the four walls of the church. God, Jesus never wanted it to be something that we just enjoy ourselves. We just sit in his presence and, oh God, but I'm just comfortable. I just want to sit back and, you know, I'm enjoying, I have my morning coffee and a Bible time every morning. I read your word and I come to a prayer night at church and I go to church on a Sunday and I stand there and I lift my hands and I experience heaven. And then I go home and I listen to my worship music and I read my Bible through the week and I'm up to day 417 on my daily streak on the Bible app, on, you know, on the YouVersion app, and I'm doing a good Christian thing. So I'm staying here. I'm not getting messed up with all that stuff. I'm here. Isn't that what you wanted of me, God? And God said, no. My desire was you to come in. It says in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus is talking to the disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. As we've seen, Acts 2, that's already happened. We talked about it before. So we know that's done. We're not waiting for this anymore. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, Samaria, am I pronouncing that right? I don't know, wherever that place is. We're going to go there as well. And to the ends of the earth. That covers it. We can just leave that one for now until I know how to pronounce it. What does it mean to be a witness? It's a word that's thrown around a lot in church. What does it mean to be a witness? Well, what does it mean to be a witness? It means to see something.
Yeah.
All right? I haven't seen much. You know, I don't know much about the law, but I've seen enough of Lincoln Lawyer to know that if someone hasn't seen something and they get caught up on the stand, that's called false testimony, and that's really, really bad. You're not allowed to speak about something in the court of law unless you have seen it. I can't come in and give a testimony for something. That's wrong. So how do we be a witness? First thing, we witness it.
Yeah.
You got to witness it. It starts with us coming into the presence of God. It starts with us learning about the Father. It starts with us in church, hands raised, having an encounter with Jesus. What we have seen God doing week in, week out over these last few weeks in breakthrough, I believe we have been witnessing Him and His power. But what do we do then? We say, God, I just want to stay here forever. Oh, it's so nice and warm. I love it. No. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. A city located on a hill cannot be hidden. People, do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. Give light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people so that you can see your good deeds, so that they can see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. So what do? God has made the bridge. We have walked here. We experience the presence of God, but it does not stay here anymore. What do? God does not call us to stay here. He says, hey, we have to take that line and say, hey, you, come with me, come with me. You got to see what I've seen. Have you seen this? Look at this. Look what God has done in my life. How good is this? Let's go, let's get more. Come on. How good is this? Have you seen this? We go, therefore, go there. Hey, you got to see what I have seen. You got to see what I have seen. Have you seen what God is doing in my life? You remember the person that was full of fear? I'm not him anymore. You remember the person that was full of fear? Oh, shame. You remember that injury? You remember that sickness? God has healed me. Now come with me. Come see what God has done in my life. God is calling us, I believe, to go therefore, be the light. Take what He has done. It is not about us staying there anymore. Come on, if you want to start to respond, grab a light. God is calling us to be His people, taking His presence into all the world, into Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth today. This is not for us to keep here anymore. There is no such thing as a passive witness in the Bible. We cannot just stay here and say, God, send someone else. God, send me. Begin to cry out in your own heart. Ben, begin to just pray. Begin to sing. Begin to see. God is saying, do not wait. Do not pray for someone else to go. God is moving in our hearts. God, I want to be the one that goes therefore. God, you have done something in my life. Now let me go therefore and take it into every corner of the earth. Begin to cry it in your own heart. God, make me your feet. Make me your hands. Make me your lampstand in this community, God. Make me a lampstand in my own community this morning, God. I'm going to encourage you, I encourage you, stand to your feet, begin to walk around. Make this your cry. Make it your own cry. God, send me. Turn me into what only you can do, God. Let me be a light to my family today. Let me not keep this hidden anymore. Let me take the cover off this lamp and light the city. We are a city on a hill, God. People called to let people know what God has done. Continue to sing, continue to sing.
Oh, I am for your kingdom.
Come on, church, make this your cry. Make this your response this morning.
As I walk from earth into eternity.
Make this your heart's cry this morning, church. Let God hear you. Let Him see your faith. Right now. more time. Sing that again. Church, do not let this moment go. God is calling us to go, therefore. This week I've been praying and reading Colossians a lot this last week. I just want to read you a verse from Colossians real quick. I believe this is for someone in this room. Colossians 1. See, verse 7. You learn about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant. He is helping us on your behalf. And he has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. Someone in here, you need to know, this is not a message for the outgoing. This is not a message for the extroverted. This is not the message for the people persons. This is a message for disciples. This is a message for the followers of Jesus. It doesn't matter your story or your personality. God moved in that church and said, they said, Holy Spirit. And what happened when they got closer to the whole God? What happened when the Holy Spirit moved? A love for his people began to bubble up in their spirits. A love for their people that said, I can't stay back here anymore. So I encourage you, there's someone in this room and you're thinking, that's good for them, but I'm just not that sort of people person. I'm not the sort of person that would go and speak to someone. But Jesus was. Jesus was the kind that would go and wash the feet of the sinners. Jesus was the kind that went and had meals with the sinners. Jesus was the kind that went and loved on the lost. Jesus was the kind that went and met the woman at the well. And we're called to be like Jesus. The Holy Spirit renews us every day. The Holy Spirit turns us into who Christ has been made us. We are made in the image of Christ. What does that mean? We are made in the image of the one that loves the one. We are made in the image of the one that loves the one. So we're going to sing this a couple more times. But there is someone in this room or there is someone joining us online, and the devil is using the lie that you are not that sort of personality and you are not that sort of, don't live that sort of life, to tell you that this is not for you. And I'm telling you, it was for Jesus, and we are made in his image, so it is for you. It is for you to live that life. So pray to the Holy Spirit right now. Open your heart. Pray a prayer that is so vulnerable, and it's a scary prayer, but it's a worthwhile prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, let me see the world the way you see them. Give me the eyes of the Father. It says in the book of Matthew at some point, it says Jesus was walking through the crowd and he had compassion on them, for he saw sheep without a shepherd. Everyone else walked around those people and they just saw people. But Jesus saw the sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw them the way the Father saw them. And they are the eyes we are praying God gives us right now. So I encourage you right now, I don't know who that is for, but someone you need to know, pray for God to give you the Father's eyes. Pray for God to give you the Holy Spirit to move love in your heart, to turn. It's not about changing your personality. It's not about becoming an extrovert. It's not about becoming a people person. It's about learning to see people the way the Father saw them. Learning to see the people the way Jesus saw them when he walked the earth. So can we sing this one more time? And if that's for you, I encourage you, you lift this lantern even higher and you say, God, it may not feel easy. It may not feel comfortable. It may not feel like my norm, but it's who you have called me to be. And I believe you are, Holy Spirit, you are working in my heart right now to make me love the unloved. God has called us not just to love the neighbor, but to love the unloved, love the unseen, love the broken, love the filthy, love the lowly, love the lonely, love the gone too fars, love the can never come to churches. The people we walk past and see, they could never be in church. Jesus doesn't say that, so neither do we anymore. They're the ones that God is calling us. God, send me to the furthest corners of the earth today. Can we just sing that again? one last time, just as one people, can we just sing that chorus? Sing Hosanna. Lord, all for the glory of your name.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
Thank you. I thank you right now, Lord. May this not stay within these four walls. May this passion and fire you are building in us. I believe there's a fresh fire that God is moving right now. May it not stay in this service and may it not stay in these four walls, but may we go therefore this week, Lord. May we go therefore into our workplaces and our families and our streets and the ends of the earth, Lord. May we go into our life groups and our grow teams, into our situations this week, and go therefore, Lord. May we go into our schools. May we go into a family dinner, Lord. May we go into our sport. May we go into the dinner we're having with a friend this week, Lord. May we go into our workplaces, Lord. May we go therefore. May we no longer be satisfied just keeping this to ourselves, Lord. Lord, may we not be satisfied just letting this die out today and come back next Sunday. Pressed on our hearts, Holy Spirit, to a point where I don't even want to be able to rest, Holy Spirit, until I know I'm going there for, until I know I'm telling everyone about the healing power of my Jesus, until I know that I'm telling the world about the forgiving power of my Jesus, until I know I'm telling the world about the saving power of my Jesus, the provision that my Jesus brings, the hope that he brings, the joy, the restoration, the freedom, the mental freedom that he brings. You don't know where to start. Start with your own story. There is a story in each and every one of you that God has written, a story, a testimony. It may not seem like much of a testimony. Maybe you've grown up in church like I have. But I know the power of meeting my Jesus when I needed to. I know the power of feeling like I'm at my worst and meeting my Jesus. Maybe you have a healing story in your life. Maybe you have a story of provision in your life. Maybe you have a story of restoration in your life. There's someone here, you had a story where you couldn't sleep for a long time because there was a pressure and because of anxiety, fear, stress, depression, things like that. There was mental health issues and PTSD that stopped you sleeping for a season, and God healed you. Maybe that was a long time ago, but God healed you. That story, God wants you to share this week with someone. Take that story, because that's your story. That's your light to shine into the corners of the earth. That's your light. Someone here, there's a story. There's a story where God healed you of a lack of sleep at some point in your life, and God is encouraging. There's going to be a point this week. It may make no sense, but God wants you to share that story this week. I don't know who that's for, but there's someone here, I believe. A lack of sleep. There was a story about that. And that's going to minister to someone. There's someone you don't know. I'm not even going to speak to how it ministers to them, because that's between God and that person. But it's on us to share the story. It's on us to be his mouthpiece this week. So God, I pray, give us stories. Remind us of moments in our life where you moved. God's just reminding me, I was a miracle baby. I shouldn't have even been born. Why am I not telling that story more? God, give me opportunities this week to tell that story. Give me opportunities, give me avenues to tell that story this week. That's a miracle, Lord. That's only because that bridge was made, that your healing power was able to come down and heal my mom and child. I was carried to full term and I was born. I should never have been born. But God did that. His healing power worked. And I'm alive and free and I'm here today because of God's healing power. I should be telling that story. God, help me tell that story this week. Ask him right now, God, help us tell our stories this week, God. In Jesus' name, amen.